Okay, I did it already.
Okay.
Wait, so you're number, back.
that does simplify this. What's number one?
Six of Wands.
Does it have, what's the keyword on it?
Keyword is victory.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Okay.
Second is Four of Wands. And that's called completion. Third is the Princess of Discs.
Has arrived.
Oh, wow. Who?
What was it again?
Princess of Discs.
That's number three?
That's number three, yes. Mm-hmm. And according to what I heard, she has arrived. The fourth is the Two of Swords, which is peace.
The Two of Swords is peace?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's called Peace Restored. And, the weight system, the Golden Dawn. Okay. The fifth card, the motivation is prudence, the Eight of Discs. The sixth card is the Moon. Now we are doing the Arc of Influence. The seventh card is Seven of Wands, Valor. The eighth card is Three of Cups, Abundance. And the ninth and final card is Two of Cups, Love.
And that was the two. What was the Two of Cups? What was its
Love.
Love. Mm-hmm.
Oh. Victory.
We have a vision. Bread.
Valor. Love.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like wow.
I wanted to point out to everyone the spread that's at the end of this chapter, the last page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the designated cards are, I guess you can see them there.
Seven of Wands.
Seven of Wands, Ace of Cups, Three of Pentacles, and then the Lover's card is the one that's being pointed out to Sophie.
Mm. And we had the Lover's card in the previous session as a prominent card.
Yeah. Okay, well that takes care of... Does everybody have the cards written down?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, the next thing to figure out is... we've got a lot of characters, so... There's nobody can... I don't think we're going to have the luxury of... the guy that I designate as Ernie is actually is called Vince.
Oh, Vince, Ernie,
in
whatever.
Thing, but he's you know he's one of Benny's guys in Los Angeles, and so it's Vince and a bystander. And then somebody needs to be the Clucking Duck. Well, I think that's just like a sign or something. So does anybody want to offering to be Vince, also known as Ernie?
Who do you know? Where is Ernie on this? On the page, I don't.
It's a very minor role.
He's one of the ones who's getting rid of the file stuff, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, it's only the first page or two. First page.
I could be Ernie.
Yeah. Well, okay. It's also known as Vince. Then, and then we have. We have a bystander with that. That's actually his girlfriend who's talking to him, I think.
There's somebody named Shirley. Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, that means.
Well, I can do Shirley. I mean.
All right. Moving down, we have Prometheus Sophie. Anybody stepping up to the plate to be her?
I would like to be Sophie, but I don't know that I necessarily want to be her as Promethea, unless you need me to be.
She becomes, she's Sophia, but she's mostly Promethea. Then we have Stacy. Rachel, are you going to step up to be Stacy?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure how long I can stay, but Stacy's pretty early on, so.
All right. We'll try it. Come on, fella. Look, we've got to step up to the plate to take these ropes off. We got texture. I'll be texture.
Is there a chaplain? Is there somebody called chaplain?
Yeah, there's chaplain.
Oh, yeah.
With the Irish accent. Safe and be gone.
I'll give you the chaplain.
We've got Vincent the bystander again. Then we have we have the Prometheus. We have a number of Prometheus. What I would suggest is just alternate we can and embody them all. We've got Jack Bowles. I'll be Jack
Bowles.
And
who's doing Jack Bowles?
I am. What's my big role? then we got Henry Royce.
Val, is that you?
Yeah.
He's the guy who attacks. And then we've got Stacy again and Sophie.
I can be Henry Royce. Did someone take that on?
Who?
Henry Royce. I can be Henry Royce.
Okay. And then we have a woman that's with him. They're members of the temple.
Is that a Henry Royce woman that you have on your hand?
Henry Royce is a man.
I know, but you have Henry Royce, woman on your hand.
Yeah, well, the woman is the one who he's talking with.
Okay, fine.
And then there's another guy, too.
Yeah, then he's also talking to another guy in the temple. And if I remember right, the children don't really say anything. And, okay. So that's it as far as our parts go. And, let's get started.
Is one person doing all the Prometheus?
No. What I would suggest is a couple of people do the different Prometheus.
Do we have our Prometheus? Anna, Grace, and Bill?
I'll do one of them or all of them.
I'll do Bill.
I'll do Grace.
Okay. So, are we recording?
Yes, we are.
Oh, okay. Well, let's get started then. Promethea, bringing down the temple, Los Angeles, tonight.
Now, who's this? This is not
Vince.
It's not Ernie.
Vince.
That's
the clucking.
Yeah,
Hey, hey, I got out of the internet trading just in time.
Is this already coming up?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, shred everything. Then empty the accounts. We're getting out of here.
Oh, sorry, but Mr. Solomon's in a meeting. I'll get him to call you back.
No, we've already done that.
He's a dead man. Here, look at dead. They said he was blown up to bits. I tell you, it's a black magic crap he's blown into. I knew this would happen.
Shirley, will you answer the blank phone? You dumb.
I'm sorry. Yes, hello? No, I'm sorry. No, Mr. Solomon's in a meeting right now.
Hey, you hear that? What's out there in the club? What was that?
Ask some waitress to drop the tray of glasses. We gotta delete these files.
No, I'm sorry. He can't. Listen, he'll get back to you.
That was something. Something was happening to the club, man.
Blank, it's the cops already here about Betty. Gotta be. Gotta wipe this hard drive.
Go keep them busy. Keep them busy until I get rid of this, all this crap. Okay. All the goddamn Jesus.
I feel like we need sound effects here. Whoosh!
Right there. Okay.
Holy God, kill it!
Oh, God!
Sal, I don't know.
Yeah!
What do you want?
Your master is killed. His creature's in hiding. Regrettably, one of my kind is also no more.
Oh, God,
oh, God, voice, I'm going to eat. So, tell me, do you value your soul?
New York, Monday.
This is the nurse.
I'm really sorry. Would you like to see her?
Yeah, I think I would. Oh, God, when did she, you know?
She hung on a day or so after we found her out of her bed during that stuff that happened at the hospital. They pronounced her dead early this morning. Look, you probably want a few minutes alone with her. I'll be right outside.
So, do you want me to stay here, or... This is screwed, Stace. This is so screwed. I mean, look at her. They haven't even closed her eyes. They haven't even... Oh, God, Stace. Oh, God.
So, it's okay. Really, it's okay.
Oh, no, this is not okay. She helped me fight those demons, and it killed her. Oh, God, her face is all cold. It's like marble.
I was going to ask you about the demons. I just remember little flashes.
Yeah, well, Grace wiped your memory. My mom doesn't remember anything past that first explosion. Oh, God, Barbara.
She was so nice, Dave. She really looked out for me. Nobody's getting away with this. Oh, sorry, just let me check.
Oh, that's all right. Nobody.
Getting away with this, I mean it.
So, once more, your souls, do you value them?
Los Angeles Tuesday.
Oh, sorry, I got ahead of you. No. Yes, oh God, Vince, tell her what she wants.
Look, we value our souls, okay? We value our souls. We don't know anything.
Your employer was contracted to kill me. His clients were a group called the Temple. Where are they?
That was all on the computer. She wiped the drive.
I see. And this is the device here?
Yeah, but like I said, wipe cleaned it. Retrieving the information, it's like you need to be a computer expert.
people. No contact information, just a name. Who's Henry Royce?
He must be the Benny's Temple contact. Look, I promised, though, we never heard of the guy.
It doesn't matter. I'll find him. I am grateful for your help. Change your lives.
Oh, God, please.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
New York, Thursday.
God, so what did Permita do then? I flew home L.A. to New York in this dreamy streak of wind and lights. Took her maybe 10 minutes.
This is texture. More on the recent South Tower Hospital panic. Where celebrity Omnipath the Painted Doll was reportedly killed in an explosion. Yeah, right. Since being present at the incident, Mayor Sonny Baskerville assumes a new man, allegedly one more commanding and decisive. Speaking yesterday, the mayor said, "I am legion and all shall kiss my smoldering hoof." This is texture.
And nobody paid any attention?
Not in New York.
Used to each other, more like one person. God, Stace, being her with her senses dropping towards New York from above.
I guess all the Waltons must be dead by now.
Anyway, yesterday was Barbara's funeral. There were just some relatives and that geek from the Five Swell Guys. He kept staring at me.
In other news, makers of the computerized smart slime, Elastigel, reported record sales. 3 in 5 New Yorkers now use a twinkling, crawling Elastigel products in their home or workplace, including Elastivalet, Elastipet, and the very popular Joy Gel. This is texture.
You look like skinny little skeleton girls. Listen, your friend Barbara, did you see all those other places you mentioned? Both of the impetigo? The immateria. Yeah, I guess so. I should go see how she's doing. Maybe tonight, after class. What do you mean, she's gone?
We mean that Mistress Barbara has chosen not to tarry with us now that her mortal round is done. She wished us all farewell.
Darling, her actual words were, "Damned if I'm spending eternity for bush dried up has been bitches like you." That's Barbara. But, I mean, where did she go?
She went on. She said she wanted to find Steve, her husband.
She went beyond, Sophie. Said she had to say goodbye. You have to let her go. She's gone into the magic where people can't follow. Forget her, honey.
I can't do that, Bill. I'm sorry. I just can't.
New York, Friday. Sorry, lady. No more readings today. Make an appointment and... Holy shit. All right.
Has left the conference.
You did it, Benny Solomon. Now it's my turn, huh? Now, how in Gehenna did you find me? I have spells of concealment.
You're in the directory, you shit. You're on tarot, astrology, fortunes. Anyway, you can relax. I'm saving up my hostility for the temple. I'm not here to harm you.
Yeah, different. You don't do all that, totally stuff anymore, do you? You're getting into character. So if you're not here to lean on me, what do you want?
I want you to teach me magic.
Uh-huh, I understand. Barbara Shelley died. Guess this is connected. affected my sympathies, incidentally. Shelley was okay. So I teach you magic. What's in it for me?
I don't know. What do you want?
Well, sex, obviously.
What, with me?
Hey, now I'm insulted. What am I, some kind of chicken hawk? Of course I don't mean I want sex with you. I want sex with Promethea. I mean, sure, okay, I know what you're thinking. He's old, he's bald, he's probably a Satanist. But listen, I happen to believe that my soul is beautiful. Anyway, you're going to need some time to think about this, I can tell. No worry. You know where I am. You take care. Now, little Sophie, there's some bad people out there.
Henry Roy?
New York. New York, Saturday, 3 a.m. Father, forgive me. Why did I come here? I can't remember.
I sure am.
Okay.
Oh, sure now, Mr. Royce. Isn't it the fine temple? You dreamed about it once when you were just a waxless boy. It's a shame about your mother.
Peace and begone. Yeah.
But my mother died 30 years ago. It shouldn't have taken this long to arrange her funeral. In fact, I don't remember coming to her funeral back then.
You may do. She was a very repetitious woman. That's your body.
Keep going there.
Across the page, yeah.
Across the... Oh. Yeah, yes, that's my mother. But look, so young and beautiful. She's not who I remember at all.
The morticians, they do a wonderful job, my son. It's only natural that we all should want to kiss her.
I suppose you're right. She reminds me of somebody who, with her hair like that, somebody who, like a color, or like a TV show.
Don't be sad. If you examine her, she's hardly there at all. Look a little closer.
Henry Roy, I've been looking for you.
Hello, Teddy. Yes, I'm sorry for waking you. I just had, well, it might have been an ordinary dream, but Teddy, I think she may have found us. No, the celebration must proceed. This afternoon is planned. Sure, we'll talk later.
How did you find this Royce guy? Promethea searched the Immateria and happened on one of his dreams. It was easy. Hey, taxi!
Oh, right. And just like Dr. Noah's address, you know he's part of this temple thing?
Say, Promethea knows, okay? Yeah, hi. We're going to Burley Drive out in Forest Hills.
Burley Drive? Oh, that's where all the millionaires live. It can't be where this temple is.
Look, you asked to come along, okay? Anyway, maybe the temple's underground or something. Now let me concentrate, huh?
Wow, I guess this must be the place. What are you going to do? You just zap everybody or whatever?
I don't know what I'm going to do. They're probably expecting me. I mean, they're this ancient occult organization. I think they may even be the ones who killed the original Promethea's dad. Probably it's this huge cult of assassins. They have to be expecting me.
So, listen, this decisive action stuff, it's not like you. It's like I don't know you anymore. You wouldn't tell me what that creepy fast guy said? Are you getting bigger?
Yes, Stacia, listen. I'm still me, but I'm her too now. Everyone's just going to have to get over that. As for Jack Faust, I'm still considering what he said. Ah, that must be the mansion gates ahead.
Just all this stuff, it just scares me, yeah? I mean, it's not even funny. Can't you just hold this stupid revenge thing for other time?
It isn't revenge, and it isn't stupid. Grace was right. I have to strike back immediately. I can end them now, or let them keep hurting people by sparring with them forever. Besides, today is some big temple feast or celebration.
Doesn't that mean they'll all be there?
Yes. Stacia, this is as far as you go. Call a cab back to town or wait here. It's up to you. I'll handle things from here.
I'm sorry, Mr. Miss.
I can see you're one of those performers from Mr. Royce's celebration. But you have to show your ID before I can let...
Oh, she's coming.
Oh, God.
Where am I?
Don't worry, sweetheart. We got the weapon.
You know who I am. You are Henry Royce. Where is the temple?
Yes, Honor of Revelation. We know who you are. Just as surely, you surely know us. We are the temple.
She reminds me of my baby sister.
Emily's dead, Teddy. That demon's enchanting you.
I mean, the temple hasn't numbered above a dozen since the 20s. Now there's us three and our heirs.
Teddy, get the weapon.
Three of you persecuting me across decades?
Devil.
Okay.
Where are we?
Behold.
On the page.
Uh-huh.
Behold, regard the sacred spear. Dear to trample, creature, this is the weapon that killed your father centuries ago. These demon blood stains it. Its touch can shrivel you. Oh God, Emily, I...
Dear God, how many lives wasted in this idiocy?
Henry, I'm sorry, she...
Shut up. We must offend our inheritors. Their celebration.
No. Your tragic, bloody inheritance goes no further. Your followers and their occult rituals shall be finally silenced. I've been to a few of these occult rituals.
Yeah, right?
Happy birthday, Simon and Jerry!
Children?
They're at the temple's future, which raids to guard the world from the coming apocalypse, and from a whore clad in scarlet and gold who is the harbinger.
They're children in Christ's name. Don't harm them.
How dare? How dare you invoke the name of Christ when you have murdered, when you have made compact with hell? The Lord Christ is more kin to me than you could ever comprehend. We are both sacred. We are both stories. And we were only ever meant to let more light in. And you misunderstand, and you kill, and kill, and you... I'm sorry I came crashing in and spoiled your birthday party, haven't I? I didn't mean for that to happen. I'll go away now.
What's she doing? Don't trust her, children.
I'll tell you what. To make up for being rude and coming here uninvited, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you where I come from and what I stand for. Watch carefully now. Goodbye. Enjoy that cake.
Don't look, children, don't look. They're things from hell.
Grandpa, don't! You're spoiling it!
Oh, look, they're going!
Oh, by the by, I leave you, my good wife. And in the future, she's got friends that have. Keep off, or I'll come calling. And nobody wants that. Cheerio for now.
That's the Pied Piper, you're on.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
New York. Sunday.
Shuffle, 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 shuffle. Okay.
Next week, Sex, Stars, and the Serpent.
Quite a far cry from a birthday party.
Okay, little
yeah, really.
Party.
Well, that's how the kids get here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
A little reverse logic, yeah.
Okay, I would like to make note of something that struck me. Of course, it would strike me. In the illustrations is Barbara's coffin.
Uh-huh.
The
mm-hmm.
the illustration of like a sun rose.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did you draw this, Johanna?
No. Mm-hmm. No, I didn't.
How ironic is the Promethea doesn't have eyes.
Yeah.
Much like your majors, Johanna.
Mm-hmm. All my cards don't have eyes.
Yeah, that's right.
That's true.
That's the stained glass window you're talking about.
Yes, the stained glass
right.
window.
I like all of the stained glass effects throughout the illustrations here. It's very nice.
Yeah, and well, it starts with the illustration.
Yeah,
we have,
bringing down the temple, the whole thing.
Yeah.
We have the planets on one side and some Egyptian symbols.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side. Well, they're not fully Egyptian symbols.
What page are you on? Where are you?
Just in
the beginning.
Bringing down
chapter
the
3?
Temple, which is a...
Oh, yeah, I see. Okay.
I don't see the planet.
And it seems that this is a...
it's the planet on the right side.
Mm-hmm. A point of view. Like, who's the bad guy?
I think Alan Moore shows some kind of ambivalence towards the temple. There are a lot of seemingly innocent people. Perhaps hangers-on, who knows, that play into the hands of Jack Frost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what's so interesting is that Faust, if you see Sorry We're Closed, J. Faust,
uh-huh.
I have to look up that sigil, the pentacle with the two half moons. That's interesting.
Where is
right under his name, J. Faust, Tarot Astrology
his
Fortune.
His tarot shop front.
Right, the shop where he does the readings.
Oh, but not on this first page, you don't mean?
No, this is page.
No, okay.
Oh, no, we're in.
We're skipping around a lot.
Okay.
Skipping around.
Yeah. Yeah.
The thing interesting about Jack Faust is how he seems to change character. In the earlier episode where he, first of all, I mean, Barbara warns Sophie that Jack Faust could be one of her greatest enemies, you know?
Yeah.
And then they meet in the library.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's really trying to do something heavy with her. And then when he's stopped by Stacy, he gets all worked up.
Yeah.
And he indicates he's actually Jack and the Beanstalk.
Yeah.
He says, I had a good gig with that Beanstalk until you messed it up.
Yeah.
And now he seems to be Aleister Crowley, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And more or less a good guy, which is kind of interesting. And I often wonder, like, you know, did Moore change his idea about him, or did he always plan to have him be this kind of character and just present him differently at first? There's no way
or
to
is
know.
It more of that ambivalence that we were
I think it's ambivalence.
About.
Yeah,
it could be.
Yeah.
There are no good guys, there are no bad guys, you know.
But he's also definitely human, you know, from now on.
Yes.
Whereas he did imply he was a story in the first library scene. He really very clearly implied he's back in the beanstalk, you know.
Yeah, he also put on his glamour, initially.
Yeah, but I mean, the beanstalk remark I'm talking about, though, where he seemed to be, you know, suggesting he was actually a story rather than a person.
What does 32 mean?
Maybe as a witch, maybe as a magician, he entered into the beanstalk story.
Yeah.
Or his namesake, which is also possible. Notice he's wearing a 32 team shirt for Path 32 in the Tree of Life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are those four figures on that page? There's the bull and there's the lion in the center.
Right.
Yeah, there's an ibis in the very center. Ibis
what?
On top. The very, very center the ibis on top.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And then there's a frog on the right.
What?
That's the lion.
I don't know what the...
Are those
lions,
the symbols
lions.
That are on the... The wheel card and the wheel card?
No, these are different. You have here, it looks like a jackal to the extreme left.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, it could be a
lamb? I don't know. What is that?
Yeah.
Gold lamb?
If you, if you look at the in the notes,
mm-hmm.
it identifies those.
Oh, okay.
It offers an identification of them.
Once again, we have what appears to be the hilt of a sword all the way over on the far right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it's multicolored.
Mm-hmm. That's a magic wand. That's a Golden Dawn magic wand.
The top of it's the Caduceus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Golden Dawn magic wand looks like a painted Caduceus.
Yeah, and with the different colors and different
things. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The what's interesting is that, well, he's using a very literary form by making a somewhat sympathetic or
Jack Faust?
Yeah, the Jack Faust character. You know what I'm saying? Like that. It's like he's an antagonist, protagonist, or like a teacher that leads her, but then you don't know where he's leading her. You know,
right.
That type of thing.
Well, which is
the sigil at the bottom of the first page?
Bottom of the first page?
So that's between the two of them. That scene with the two of them. There's like a blackboard with a symbol on it.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know what that might be?
Yes.
On the temple first page.
Yeah, that's another.
Jack and mm-hmm. Stacy and Sophie.
Yeah, that's another magical symbol, and I do not.
The Eye of Horus.
Yeah.
The Eye of Horus inside the.
I have no idea where you're looking.
Okay.
I do. It's tucked in the middle. I see. It's tucked like in down in the fold. I see it. Yes.
Yeah, right.
Looks like the triangle's up. Mm-hmm. I have Horus.
Well, that's something. I don't know if it's in the notes, these sigils, but I'll see if I can look them up and.
No, the sigils aren't in the notes. I just read over the notes.
Hmm. Okay.
And did you notice the upper right panel? He's holding a sphere or an orb, and she is reflected in it. I think that's kind of a cool.
Oh yeah, that's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's not holding it. I guess it's sitting on the
top.
Right in front of him. Yeah.
You can see them in the first page where she walked in there.
Yeah.
She is besieged Promethea on the very. Let's see. Is it the very first page? It says Promethea has all the artists and authors. Issue number 9.
Uh-huh.
September 2000.
Okay.
You can see all the demons seemingly coming from the top
mm-hmm.
of a temple-like structure.
And again, it's kind of a stained glass effect there.
Almost, yeah.
Well, it's the same stained glass as over there. It was the same stained glass that was over Barbara.
Yeah.
And then we have...
Right.
No, it's a different design.
No, but you see the sun rose?
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right. And then we have all these astrological symbols on one side,
mm-hmm.
and then Egyptian and Greek, or the lyre, anyway. Scarab, storm.
Uh-huh.
Again, they're
Hermes.
Notes.
So it is an interesting idea, and it is so ambivalent. This one would seem, the temple is so negative, and she's about to bring down this very horrible, occult structure. And then as you move through the chapter, it seems the author softens on the temple somewhat, to the point where you have a birthday party.
Yeah.
I don't think it's an accident that he has Simon and Jenny's birthday party.
Oh, no, of course not, yeah. But
you
mean an evil satanic ritual or whatever she calls it?
Oh, right. She's saying it's
exactly.
There's an old Russian proverb that says, don't let your servants distribute your alms. And the basic point of it is that the temple contracted out the confrontation with Promethea to Benny Solomon.
Yeah.
So in other words, they were having someone else do it for them.
Yeah, the dirty work.
And they're also evil.
And when you have other people do the dirty work for you, they make it dirtier than you might do it yourself.
Oh no, they're dirty. I mean, they're evil. They killed Prometheus' father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are for millennia.
Yeah.
But you also get the backstory that they think they're right.
Well, they selenium that Promethea is prophecy to bring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my question really is, what would be the symbolism of the children's birthday party? Surrounded by the stained glass, where she, Promethea, thought she was going to attack the temple.
And well, yes,
the corruption of innocence.
There's an experience that's in my life that explains something of this temple, which is back in the 70s when I was getting interested in this stuff and was making contacts. Everybody that was into the occult was ancient. You know, they were all in their 60s,
yeah.
70s, and
80s. I remember you mentioning that.
You know, you went to one of these old occult meetings, you showed up, and there were maybe three old ladies there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Remember that too.
You know, all of whom were very, very retired. You know, and it was needless to say, there was this, as I noticed, a generation gap. In the same way, you have the very old, the very young, and you have this, in the temple, you don't have a direct continuity. You have people hanging on to what they...
That's an interesting point.
Yeah. Okay, I have to go, but I'll speak to you next time.
Thanks, Rachel.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Rachel?
Has left the conference.
So what you're saying, Paul, is that it's as if they're trying to hang on to some form of youth or find the elixir of eternal life?
No, I'm saying that they're hanging on to traditions that they hold more in their memory than in their experience.
Than in experience.
No, it's not in contrast to experience. So they may have had the experience in their youth.
Right.
But what they've done is they've turned it into a comfortable memory rather than,
right.
You know, they're not out there, they're not in the trenches anymore.
Right.
As I said, they contracted out to Benny Solomon to do this stuff.
Right. So the symbolism of the birthday party?
Renewal.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But also that classic generational jump.
Yeah.
Where you have... grandchildren more likely to take on what the grandparents were interested in, and the parents reject what their parents were into.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And it is true that Promethea provides them an experience in the immateria, and the children just completely are entranced.
Yeah.
But the elders, who appear quite old, by the way.
Well, the other thing is the Pied Piper does return in issue number 25. That's
mm-hmm.
a long way from now.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go through the full series.
The Pied Piper has a very, from the back, a very fool-like semblance.
Right, he does.
Yeah, there's a,
so the magician takes on a fool-like semblance.
About Pied Piper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's sort of like, you know, he's sort of like the, you know, he's the, you know, he's the pederast. He's the evil person who's got to lure your children away from childhood.
But if you notice that what she shows the children, though it's fanciful, it's flat. The illustrations are flat. It's not the true immateria.
Very two-dimensional, yeah.
They have to, because the children themselves have to give it a three-dimensionality.
And
they have to make it real for themselves.
I mean, it looks like pictures in storybooks.
Right.
I'm reading into that, but that's what I would assume.
Yeah.
Well, it's sort of like, and children's movement into fantasy is develops over time, you know.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I think we better get on to
the reading.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because I'm concerned that everybody...
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's see what we get over here.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because we come into children. We have children thrown into our faces. And look at all the sweetness and light we have in this reading, you know.
Mm-hmm,
I mean,
mm-hmm.
peace, valor, abundance, love, you know.
A bit of prudence.
Yeah. Well, forget prudence. I don't think children exactly are prudent, you know. But
Well, it's in the fifth position.
Yeah,
like,
it
that's
is.
Just a,
that's the motivation,
I
mean, yeah.
To me, this reading looks like a birthday cake.
Really?
You know what I mean? It's all sweetness and light and sugar, you know. It's like.
Well, the moon, I don't know whether it's sweetness and light.
What position,
yeah,
what
but
position was six? Chad, I don't have my stuff out here.
Number card
it's
six?
The ultimate outcome, isn't it? Isn't it the outcome? Or the
yeah, the moon.
All right, so the moon is dreams and immaterial.
Yeah, and
basically,
psyche,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All this stuff is just dreams, you know? So it's like,
And the one thing I thought was, you know, much more glaring than Alan Moore's relationship to the temple or to the occult was his relationship between, very, very clearly stated, between Christ.
Yeah.
Somebody invokes Christ's name in vain, and Promethea gets all upset, not because she sees him as her savior, but because she sees him as a fellow story.
Right. We are both stories.
Right. And she puts herself on an equal level with the Christ in terms of story.
Yep.
And I thought that was a much stronger statement by Alan Moore than his relationship to the temple so far. And from what I can remember,
you know, the moon card.
Light in.
The moon card looks like a temple structure in the Crowley deck, the Toth deck. It's amazing. It does look like a temple with the two Anubises guarding the gates of it. You know.
Now, what is the temple's relationship to the Golden Dawn, literally? Was it an offshoot of the Golden Dawn, or is it a perversion of the Golden Dawn?
No, I think talking about the OTO?
No, I'm talking about whatever the temple is. Is the temple OTO in Alan Moore's eyes?
I think it could be, maybe, the Golden Dawn. Because it is the Golden Dawn?
I think it's a Golden Dawn temple. It's where they did their, you know, where they did their rites.
Well, he certainly plays them up as fools, if not totally evil.
Mm.
And yet, Prometheus centers around the whole Crowley, or rather, shall we say, the whole Golden Dawn Kabbalistic system. So it's very confusing to get a point of view.
Well, like Paul said, the stodgy old people, it depends upon who's the new, who are the new purveyors of sacred knowledge. Will it be the temple or Prometheus?
They're defending their way of looking at life. The old people are defending their way of looking at life. They don't want things to change. And they see Prometheus bringing change into the picture.
The end of the world, as they know it.
The end of the world, that's right.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, one of the things that happens is if you live long enough is you adapt to the world, and you maybe with some success.
Maybe not.
Yeah. Why don't we actually look at the progression of the first four cards that we drew, which is the Six of Wands, Victory. That's a very interesting card to come up here. I mean, considering the grief and the confusion that Sophie's in.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to keep harping on the birthday party, but it comes towards the end. And to me, it is the ultimate victory that Promethea comes into the lives of these children.
Yeah.
And she skips right over the temple folk, so to speak, and provides this fabulous experience for these children.
Yeah.
So she is victorious, valorous. Abundance and love.
That's assuming that the children integrate this experience, which is not. I don't know if that's. I don't think that shows up anytime in the story arc. But it's an interesting point. But starting again with these first four cards, we have the Six of Wands. So that's fire and fire. All right. Then the next one is water and fire, which is the Three of Wands.
Four of Wands.
No.
Four of Wands.
Four of Wands.
Six of Wands. Four of Wands.
Yes.
Princess of Pentacles or Disc.
Yeah.
And Two of Swords. Those are the first four.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Wait. Hold on. We got Six of Wands, number one. Four of Wands,
yeah,
number two.
Right.
Princess of Discs, number three. Two of Swords, number four.
All right.
Okay.
The Princess of Discs is an absolutely stunning card.
Okay. What I like about this is that we have the Caduceus right away.
Yeah.
In the
Six of Wands.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And also other elements that are in the illustrations. The and victory, a physical victory. There's a that, remember, fire is the area of the physicality and creation. You know, it's raw sexual energy. And there we have victory. There is something. Now, remember, he mentioned sex. He wanted sex with Promethea.
That's right. Yes.
Then we have, in the emotional area, or the intuitive and spiritual area of the reading, we have completion. So there's an arc, something's going on here, that leads to another, well, she's grown up now.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sophie is really an adult and taking on the responsibility of being a Promethea.
And they, I mean, it's even mentioned throughout the chapter that, you know, her voice has changed. She, you know, she's not talking the same way she used to. So.
Well, and she tells Stacia, get over it. This is who I am.
Right. Yeah. She's taking command.
She has taken command.
And then the prince.
Into herself.
Yeah, the prince. Now, in the area of intellect and communication, air, we have the Princess of Discs, and that is like the grounding of her energy, of Promethea's energy. It is grounded now. She is whole. She is able to manipulate in the mundane world her essence and her psyche. Remember, she changed easily walking into the gates of the old age home, the temple. And then as a composite of the three cards in Earth, we have peace.
We have peace.
Well, in the other word for this is peace restored.
Yeah.
She knows her purpose.
Yep.
So in some ways, even though she's, you know, Stacy said, she's looking for revenge, she's actually looking for justice.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what comes out of this. So her hidden motivation, which is five below, the Eight of Discs is prudence. There's an issue. The other thing is that what we've got is also, I see we have like a variety of progressions by two. It's pretty common there.
How do people interpret prudence? That's the thing. The hidden motivation. How do you? I interpret it as investment. How you invest yourself or your energies.
I see it as restraint, and so that you're.
So what was the position?
Motivation.
All right.
Okay. Paul, I'm sorry.
No, so that's all. I'm just going on how I'm interpreting that. So as I said,
prudence and temperance have a very close relationship, and but this is a minor. But eight happens to be a very financially savvy number, you know, numerologically. So I think Johanna hit it on the head. It's how you invest yourself.
Well, and
your abundance.
It would have been easy. Promethea, with all of her power that she has stepped into, and it would have been easy for her to get revenge.
Right.
But that's not what she's after. She's more prudent than that. She doesn't want just, you know, tearing revenge. She wants justice. I mean, she wants to stop the temple. She is still motivated by her original purpose, you know.
She is using her powers prudently. She is not out for revenge. So, I see that too.
Well, the other thing is a sense of conscientiousness.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Seeking to put everything in order.
Yeah.
Discernment.
I'm reading out of my Crawley Tarot book now.
Yeah. Discernment's a good word, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not just acting haphazardly. Evaluation leads to proper action.
Yeah.
Not reaction.
My father used to say, don't go at it like you're killing snakes,
mm-hmm.
which would be the very definition of not being prudent, you know.
Right.
Where you're just out there thrashing around, you know.
And of course, in this process, the outcome, we have the major arcana,
yeah.
which is
right.
the moon, which again is showing that even though she's coming into her fullness, she's still, you know, she's still open to distraction and worry and
I think
surprise.
I disagree. I think it's all about the birthday party. She was able to provide that experience for the children for the first time.
An imaginative experience. Yeah.
Exactly. For
yeah.
the first time.
Yeah.
That was a display of her power.
Yeah.
And she used it prudently, not vengefully. She did it in a positive way.
Well, yeah. So that in the sense of the moon, she's mirroring, showing them a larger version of what the world's about.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's really what the world's about.
Maybe it is.
Now, what's interesting is that the moon classically means, again, I'm looking at the qualities of the Crawley Tarot. It says here, a descent into the underworld, a journey into the unconscious depths. And if we look at this story as this is sort of this as this is a prelude to the Immateria
mm-hmm.
Odyssey that she's about to take. You know, that this moon issue here, then of course then the moon is always as a guiding you know, light as particularly symbolic knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's deal with the Archetype.
No, I look at the princess. Pardon me.
Yeah,
I look at the princess of this, in the center of the reading. That's a beautiful card in the third
yeah,
act.
It's stunning.
And the thing,
stunning card.
It's a stunning card. I'll agree with you, Cynthia. And the thing is that she's bringing a grounded energy into the picture. She,
mm-hmm.
you know, she's bringing this grounded energy of the earth into this picture, which has been rather disruptive all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that she's trying to bring peace back into the picture. That's the Two of Swords. And she knows that the eight is about hard work and getting to the peak of the mountain, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
You got to keep working
mm-hmm.
at it. You got to keep working. And the moon is you got to get moved through your illusions, kids. These are the illusions you're going to have to face, and you have to become realistic about them. And she's trying to teach these kids who are sucked in by these other people the old philosophies. And she says there's something more in life than what you've been looking at.
Mm-hmm.
That's my interpretation.
Okay.
Well, that, I mean, obviously, one of the things that really shows up in the Princess of Discs is how Promethea like she is.
Yes, she is.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's right. I agree.
Yeah.
She has that sword, I mean, so that wand with the
well, it takes that visual point of view as an artist. We're down below, and we see Promethea looming above us.
Uh-huh.
So it's amazing, yeah. I think he really took his... That was a question I was going to have. Do you think he did a spread before he did his chapters?
That would be interesting.
Yeah, we'll have to ask Rachel. Maybe she knows.
Yeah. Mm.
I have a feeling that...
I think that going back to the first page, the whole thing was interesting.
I think this whole story arced out. The whole thing arced out before the first. In other words, the full story was sort of in his head, maybe not every detail.
Uh-huh.
But he had the whole story in his head. Now, I don't know if he. I don't think we have notes about how he proceeded in terms of working. We do know that he is very strongly into the Telemite view of things.
So how does the Telemite differ from Odo?
Differ from what?
OTO has origins outside of the myth of Set, to be drawn as the Book of the Law.
There's a lot of noise all of a sudden?
Huh?
No, there was a lot of scraping around. I couldn't hear you.
The OTO has its as a temple goes back before Crowley's Book of the Law revelation.
I see.
And the Telemite is the Book of the Law revelation. There's probably not a lot of practical difference between them at this point historically.
Mm-hmm.
But to say that they're identical probably isn't right, because the OTO is an initiatory society in which you work toward these various initiations
mm-hmm.
insight into the magical workings of the universe. Now, to what degree you buy into the vision of the world is not completely, this is not exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
But more, I think, is definitely bought into that.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we look at those, the arc of influence over
mm-hmm.
Okay, we have Valor. Again, we have the Caduceus. That's the Seven of Wands.
Uh-huh.
In the seventh position, by the way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then we have the Three of Cups Abundance.
Wow, yeah.
And then we have the Two of Cups Love.
Wow. It's a beautiful... I mean, it's a beautiful summation. The Arc of Influence is incredible. It's the whole concept... from Alan Moore's point of view,
mm-hmm.
I think, of Promethea.
Yeah.
So, it's really a beautiful reading, Johanna. Thank you.
Yeah, well, it'll be up on the website in a while. I can't. I have errands to do.
When you can get to it, right?
Yeah, when I can get to it. But it really is a beautiful reading, and it does speak of the chapter that we just read. Very good.
One of the other things I wanted to deal with, though, that's part of this chapter, part of the initiation of this chapter, which we've kind of glossed, though it's really central in a lot of ways, is Barbara's death.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also the bridge of the death issue in the dream that Henry Royce has.
Right.
And if we look at the birthday party, then, bridged with these two deaths,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The remembered death of his mother from 30 years before,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
to the near death of Barbara that happened in the a few days before. And actually what seems to motivate Promethea in a lot of ways is grief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which might be an interesting thing. And if you think of the Princess of Death, then you think classically of the story of Demeter and what's her name?
Persephone.
Persephone, right? And then of course the Princess of Disc is a classic Sesame. Figure, which is one of the great, stories that deals with the Eleusinian mysteries and the idea of birth and death. And so, what you can see here that we're dealing with a lot of issues that deal with the mysteries of profound transition.
Also, that Barbara chose not to stay with the other Prometheus.
Yeah.
She went. To her mate.
She went into the world.
Into the other world to find her beloved husband.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think that the issue of love and
comes up in our reading.
Yeah.
Well, yes. It's also central to the next chapter with in some ways the in some ways what Jack does with Sophie is come into Stacy comes into her full possession of Prometheus so that she can follow Barbara.
Yeah. Into
I don't
the
think
magic.
That, I don't think she I don't think she's fully I don't think she's fully realized her own power yet. I think she has to go through this this transition, that opportunity, if we take Jack in his word.
For some reason...
But it also brings in the issue that we have all these primordial instincts and powers.
Yeah. We're starting to get some feedback on the line.
Yeah.
So I am going to...
Yeah, you know, David, that mic creates an awful lot of static on the line. But you wanted to say something?
What do you think about the last
David, you sound like it's some sort of demonic.
One of the demons.
Yeah.
Is this the voice of Sunny?
You've ended up in audio Gehenna.
Okay. I'll move away from that.
Oh, no, you're better now. You're better.
You may be. He may be. If you're walking around or moving around, if you get too close to the CPU or electrical item, other electricity, you may have interference. Okay, I have to leave people. I have to go.
Thank you, Johanna.
Listen.
Thanks again. Have a good day.
Yes, and I truly meant that. I really do enjoy these sessions. I always like to laugh. You know that.
Yeah.
I mean, have a good time, whatever.
And laugh and learn at the same time.
Exactly. What's better than that? You take care. Bye-bye, dears.
Bye. Take care.
Bye.